Bibles to Judges chapter 3, I believe it is. And while you're turning there, I run across some stuff in my amongst all my stuff that I'd just like to read to you this morning. I thought it was so good. And Billy Graham overcomes resentment. Certain man had spoken in an uncomplimentary way of Billy Graham. In a conversation one night, Billy said, "Deep down in my heart, I was beginning to resent the man." And he said, "Resentment is sin." I couldn't go on the platform with resentment in my heart. I couldn't ask those people to repent and love their neighbors if I had sin in my own heart. And one afternoon, alone in my room, I told God that I was going to stay on my knees until he instilled a genuine love in my heart for the man. He said, I stayed there asking God to do what I could not do as a human. After considerable time, God answered my prayer, and when I stood to my feet, I had a genuine love for him. Only God can turn resentment into love. And I got this two or three things here that I thought was so good. Corrie Ten Boom, if you've never read any of her material, is tremendous reading. She's written several books. And Corrie Ten Boom likens forgiveness to letting go of a bell rope. If you've ever seen a country church with a bell in the steeple, you'll remember that to get the bell ringing, you have to tug a while. Once it begun to ring, you merely maintain the momentum. And as long as you keep pulling, the bell keeps ringing. Corrie Ten Boom says, forgiveness is letting go of the rope. It is just that simple. But when you do so, the bell keeps ringing. Momentum is still at work. However, if you keep your hands off the rope, boy, ain't that the secret. The bell will begin to slow and eventually stop. It is like that with forgiveness, she said. When you decide to forgive, the old feelings of unforgiveness may continue to assert themselves. After a while, they have lots of momentum. But if you affirm your decision to forgive, that unforgiving spirit will begin to slow and will eventually be still. Forgiveness is letting go of the rope of retribution. Another thing, in the Revolutionary War, there lived in Pennsylvania a pastor by the name of Peter Miller. And although Peter Miller was greatly loved by everyone in his community, there was one man who lived near the church who hated him and had earned an inviolable reputation for his abuse to the minister. This man was not only a hater of the church, but it also turned out that he was a traitor to his country and was convicted of treason and sentenced to death. The trial was conducted in Philadelphia, and no sooner did Miller hear of it than he set out on foot to visit General Washington and intercede for the man's life. But George Washington told him, "I'm sorry that I cannot grant your request for your friend." "Friend?" Miller cried. "Why, that man is the worst enemy I have in the world." "What?" the general exclaimed in surprise. "Have you walked 60 miles to save the life of an enemy?" "That, in my judgment, puts the matter in a different light. I will grant him a pardon for your sake." The pardon was made out and signed by General Washington. Miller proceeded at once on foot to a place 15 miles distance where the execution was scheduled to take place that afternoon. He arrived just as the man was being carried to the scaffold. And when he saw Miller hurrying toward the place, he remarked, "There is old Peter Miller. He's walked all the way from Euphrata to have his revenge gratified by seeing me hung." But scarcely had he spoken the words when Miller pushed his way through to the condemned man and handed him the pardon that saved his life. There's another article, and I'll quit with this one. You can't handle much more. A visitor from across the mountain leaned on the rail fence, watching his old friend plow. "I don't like to butt in," he finally said, "but you could save yourself a lot of work by saying gee and haw to that mule instead of just tugging on them lines." The old timer pulled a big handkerchief from his pocket and mopped his brow and said, "Yep, I know that. But this mule kicked me 6 years ago, and I ain't spoke to him since." Man, man, man. The things in life you find. Last Sunday morning, at the end of this, my preaching, I mentioned something about forgiveness. I got a wonderful, wonderful picture in the mail. I ain't going to tell you who it was, but I know who it was now. It's a picture of a pie. And it was printed. It wasn't written in writing. It was printed. "This is a peace offering. I hope it will work. The only way it'll work is if I get the real pie." I ain't gonna tell nobody else who done it, but some of you already know. I'm having a wonderful time going to heaven. I don't mind pranks. I get them all the time, but I give a few once in a while. So you reap what you sow. Amen. Judges chapter 3, and I don't know how this is going to turn out this morning. And it's not very often I do this, but once in a great while, somebody requests that I preach on a certain thing that I preached years ago. And so they have requested this. So we'll see what turns out here this morning. I don't know. It may be a big flop or it may help you. But if you want to, every time you read this book, you can find something in there that'll help you through today's journey. Amen. Verse 15 of chapter 3 of Judges. And I'm going to read the rest of this entire chapter. And that's good for you folks that haven't read your Bible. Some haven't read all week. Shame on you. But if you haven't read your Bible today, this will help you. "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges and a cubit long." That's about 10 inches long. "And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh," because he was left-handed. He had to gird it on his right side. Most of the time, they put their dagger or sword on the left side to where they can pull it out with the right hand. But he's left-handed. "And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab." And Eglon was a very fat man. I'll never forget this. Paul Marquis. Y'all, everybody here knows Paul. He preached chapel service. I don't know if you remember, Greg. He preached chapel service one day, and this has been many years ago now. And he used this text, and his subject was Lefty Let Fatty Have It in the Gut. That sounds just about like Paul. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he rose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, that means the guard and the handle and all, and the fat closed up upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. And then Ehud went forth from the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Zerath. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. The children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them, and he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor. There escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. That's 80 years. That's the longest period in the land of Israel that they had peace. Six times they had 40 years of peace, but this is the longest. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. You may be seated. I trust that somehow or another something will be said this morning that will be a help and a strength to somebody. Amen. Years ago, I preached this message, and when I first started preaching it, I preached it as throwing rocks at the devil. And then I changed that to handicapped. A lot of handicapped people. And, you know, it's only been in the last few years that there's been special accommodations made for people that are handicapped. And I think that's wonderful. Are y'all still with me? Yes. Amen. And indeed, but there's handicapped people in the church world, not in the physical as much as in the spiritual. And when you read about this man by the name of Ehud, he was the second judge in Israel. Matter of fact, there were a total of 16 judges, and Ehud was the second judge, and Samuel was the last judge before the kings. There were only two men that came from this this tribe of Benjamin. Only two men that came from this tribe that became judges. And both of them are recorded here in this chapter, Ehud and Shamgar. Both of them did some marvelous things. But I want to talk to you this morning from the thought, the reason why these men were left-handed. Matter of fact, all that you read in the scripture, all left-handed men mentioned in the Bible came from the tribe of Benjamin. And here, when you read about this Ehud, I read from Adam Clark's commentary, and he said that in the original manuscript, it read like this: Ehud, a man lame in his right hand, and therefore forced to use his left hand. So, there's so many things that I want to talk to you about this morning from this thought about Ehud and his left hand. Matter of fact, when you read the Judges chapter 20, there's an account of 700. I want you to get this, you hunters, you listen to me. You guys that like to hunt, there were 700 men of Benjamin, each of whom was lame of his right hand for whatever reason. We're not sure. And yet, slinging stones, get this, slinging stones to a hair's breadth without missing their mark. They were men that just would not give up. And I want the Lord to help me here. Whatever reason they were lame on the right hand, we're not certain. Some said that they were born with a withered right hand. Some said that they were wounded in war and could not use their right hand effective anymore because of a wound that they incurred. So they had to learn how to use their left hand. Now, I'm a right-hand man. There are some people that are equal. They can do with either hand. I read about that preacher, Martin Luther. It baffles my mind. He could write with both hands at the same time. With one hand, he'd write Greek, and with the other hand, he'd write Hebrew at the same time. I can't imagine that. But nevertheless, there are a lot of people in life that are equal in their hands. But these men, left-handed, they were forced to use their left hand for some unknown reason. Now, I just, you know, my savage imagination runs wild. And you all know that since you have been here for a while. Amen. I see these men as they are wounded in war. Amen. These 700 men, they had so perfected the use of their left hand in throwing stones. Amen. One of the writers said, Adam Clark said, concerning the velocity of the ball out of the sling, amen, there are strange things, almost incredible things, told by these ancients. They said that the leaden ball, when thrown out of the sling, is said to have melt in its course like fire. Amen. Seneca the philosopher says, thus the ball projected from the sling melts and is liquefied by the friction of the air, as if it were exposed to the action of fire. Another writer tells us that slingers could, in general, hit the mark left-handed, hit their mark at 600 feet. That's 200 yards. They could hit the bullseye, amen, at 200 yards and not miss the mark. Now, whatever the reason was that these men of Benjamin became left-handed. Now, amen, when they were wounded in war and went home to recuperate, amen. Now, y'all, you men, I'm sure can understand this. If you're sick, amen, and a high fever, coughing, amen, can't hardly get out of bed, amen, you feel okay for your wife to take you food in bed once in a while. You don't mind her, amen, stroking your brow or fanning you when you get hot. But after a few days, that gets old. There's something inside of you as a man that you got to get out of here. Amen. You got to get better. You got to get up. You got to do something. Amen. It's all right to lay around for a day or two, but get out of bed. Amen. Come on. I'm probably going to get in a little trouble this morning. But these men, these were men of valor. They were wounded. They were hurt. Amen. Their arm was incapacitated. It would not work. Amen. So I can see these guys, amen, go out in the yard one day and they said, boy, amen, I'm not much good anymore. My right arm is wounded. I can't use that. Amen. So they just pick up a rock or two and they throw it left-handed. Amen. And they just keep throwing and they keep throwing. Amen. Now, in a sling, I've been to Israel several times. Some of y'all have been with us. Amen. I remember over to, I believe it was Bethany. They gave a demonstration of slinging a rock out of a sling. Amen. And, amen, that sling, it's not like we had when we was growing up. We had a fork of a tree, amen, and put a rubber band or a piece of car tube in there that you'd stretched out. Amen. We pulled it back and the rock would go between the forks of the limb. That's not what they had. They had a long slim. It had two strings attached to it, about that long. And between the, down here in the middle of those two strings, they had a pouch. And they would put the stone in that pouch. And they would wind it around and around. Amen. Until, amen. I don't remember how many, Sister Savage may remember how many times they slung their arm around and finally turned that, amen, one end of the string loose. Amen. And I was shocked. That stone went higher than the highest building there. And way down across the, amen, a street way out yonder. Amen. And so it was with these men, how they accomplished this. Amen. They kept throwing the rock. Amen. They'd throw a rock at a rabbit running. Amen. And they missed. They said, I'm going to try it again. The rabbit stopped. Amen. And they, amen, got them another stone and they threw again. Amen. They kept throwing until after a while they hit the rabbits, knocked it out. They had food for supper. Amen. They'd go hunting in the woods. I'm just, this savage commentary now. Amen. They'd go hunting in the woods and see a squirrel in a high tree. Amen. They'd take that sling and around they'd go. Amen. They missed so many times, it's unbelievable. Amen. But after a while, they perfected it. Amen. Left-handed. Praise God. Until they hit their target. One day they brought home 6 squirrels. Amen. And told the wife to cook them. Amen. Now these 700 men in particular, amen, could hit their target 600 feet away and not miss. I want to tell you, who needs a 30-06 when you can throw a rock like that? Amen. Deer hunters, come on. Amen. Get a hold of a stone somewhere and learn to hit your mark at 200 yards away. Amen. Oh, if I could get you to understand here. Amen. Praise God. Micah says in chapter 7 verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I am fallen, for I shall arise. Amen. The devil does everything in his power to discourage saints of God. Amen. From going on. Amen. He'll handicap you in a way. Amen. That you don't think that you'll ever get up again. But glory to God. God's grace is sufficient. When you're knocked down, get up. Come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. History is full of men who triumphed over their handicaps. Amen. General Pope, amen, was a hopeless invalid, unable to stand without a brace. But I got news for you. You don't become a general in the military, amen, just by moping around crying, I'm a handicap, don't bother me. Amen. You can overcome that trouble that's come your way. That obstacle of life that's hindered you. Amen. That part, amen, that comes your way that you don't understand why. Why are you going through this? Get up! I said get up! Praise God. Amen. There was a child born in a certain family. He was a puny child, sickly, always down with some fever. And couldn't hardly, amen, get up in life and do like other boys, run a race and win. Amen. A chance, the doctor said a chance for maturity, amen, would be very slim for this young puny child. Amen. That grew up in his family. Amen. But he determined not to give up. He kept getting up. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. He kept getting up and kept running. Amen. He was always the last one to run in the race. But he kept running and he ran and he ran. And finally he overcame his sickness and handicap. And he became a member of what the, amen, what the, they called in the early days of the 1900s, the Rough Riders. Amen. He became a member of the Rough Riders. And eventually he became President of the United States. You can overcome your obstacles if you want to be determined. I'm going to do something for God. Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, he's commonly known as, amen, was that sick, puny child. Amen. Stephen Douglas, amen, was a hunchback statesman that bent way over, but he was elected to Congress. Amen. But he became such a spokesman and the ability that he would mesmerize a whole crowd of people. The entire Congress would wait for, amen, for Stephen Douglas to stand up and speak. He had such an ability in his words to sway people's minds. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, when he spoke, he was bent over and, amen, if he had a microphone, which he probably didn't, but he would have to raise his head up like this so he could see who he was talking to. Amen. But he became one of the most wonderful statesmen that our Congress ever had. Amen. Did y'all know that Edison, amen, Edison was deaf and could not hear? But he perfected the phonograph. Amen. Crippled by infantile paralysis as a young man, Franklin Roosevelt, amen, was handicapped and could not walk without crutches. Amen. Or help. Come on here. Amen. Pictures. You go to your encyclopedias. Every picture that was taken, amen, Franklin Roosevelt was from his waist up. Amen. Amen. But he became, come on here, he became a president. Amen. And I think three terms, if I remember right. Amen. He became president of the United States of America. He refused to let his paralysis keep him down. Amen. You have been hit several times by people, come on here, with ugly words. Amen. That has hurt your feelings. And I see people all the time in the church, don't touch me. I'm hurt. Somebody hurt my feelings. Don't bother me. Get over it. That's good preaching, Lil Savage. Amen. There was a little girl. Amen. She became blind at 6 weeks of age. She was blind all of her life and lived to be in her 90s. I'm thinking 91 or 93. She eventually died. Amen. Amen. But she was a poem writer. She was a songwriter. Praise God. Fanny Crosby was her name. She wrote the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, for what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation and purchased of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Amen. She refused to let her handicap stop her from being effective. People would go to visit her, to comfort her and encourage her, and they would go away. They were the ones that was encouraged. She always kept a good outline, look on life. Praise God. Somebody say amen. She wrote the song, My Savior First of All. Praise God. Amen. There's some people, no matter what comes their way, they are unstoppable. They refuse to quit. They refuse to give up. Praise God. Put them in prison and you got a John Bunyan. Amen. Bury them in the snows of Valley Forge and you've got a George Washington. Born in poverty and don't have enough money to buy a loaf of bread. Amen. And you've got a Abraham Lincoln. You can get up. You can make something worthwhile out of your life. Somebody said nobody wants to give me a chance. Amen. Bless God, get up and make your own way in life. Woo, I'm feeling better right now. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Who among us does not know disappointments? Some failures of expectation, the weariness and the ache of a crushed heart, a hurt of which there is no seemingly sympathetic answer. All this generates an unspoken and almost unspeakable distrust. You don't trust anybody. A feeling that we have not been treated fairly. Boy, am I doing all right this morning? And if you don't take care of that, it'll eventually develop into an actual resentment that I talked to you about earlier that, amen, the preacher man felt resentment. Come on here. Until his yoke becomes irksome. Amen. We challenge God's right to, amen, control our lives, and all of a sudden we are down in the mully grubs. You're in the mud hole. Amen. I want to tell you, get up, brush your britches leg off. Praise God. Come on here. Say, I'm going to watch that mud hole the next time I come down this road. I'm not going to fall into that trap again. And sooner or later, if left unchecked, that secret spirit of hurts will develop into a full-scale repudiation or rebellion of God's lordship of your life. And you'll backslide. Yeah. Am I doing all right here? You'll get bitter. Amen. Boy, oh boy, you can overcome your handicap. I was reading this week three of the greatest poets the world, amen, has ever known. Three of those were totally blind. Amen. Homer, Ocean, Amen. Ocean, rather. And John Miller, Milton. Amen. Mr. Pearson, who wrote the enchanting book, The Conquest of Mexico, never saw Mexico. Amen. Could not even see the paper that he was writing on. Amen. A framework had to be set on that sheet of paper. Amen. Which went up and down. Amen. And when the pen would hit the paper, amen, the only way he could keep in, amen, legible was to stay in that little framework that they had made for him. Amen. Do you know that Alexander Pope, amen, whose poems will last as long as the English language, amen, was so much of an invalid that he had to be sewed up every morning in rough canvas in order to stand on his feet. Amen. Come on here. How? You can. You're not that bad off. No, you're not. Amen. So you've been hurt. Who hasn't? So you've been talked about. Who hasn't? Boy, am I doing all right here this morning? Amen. So somebody knocked me down. So big deal. Get up. Amen. There's a man by the name of Stuart. He was a celebrated painter and did much of his work under the shadow of a dungeon that he had been imprisoned in for something that he did not really have any control over, and he wasn't to blame. Amen. Do you know that Demosthenes, by almost superhuman exertion, first had to conquer the lisp of his own speech? Amen. He worked at it. He had a lisp in his speech that he couldn't conquer, and he had trouble getting people to understand him. Amen. But he was determined, I'm going to overcome that lisp. He worked at it, and he worked at it, and worked at it until he did overcome it. Amen. Amen. And many of the great poets and painters and orators and historians and heroes of the world had something to keep them back and pull them down and to impede their way and cripple their, amen, physical and intellectual movement. And yet they pushed on. They were determined not to give up or quit. Amen. But I've been hurt. My arm. Amen. Forget it. Amen. You got a left hand. Learn to throw with your left hand and see what God will do for you. You know, the best multitude of these men started under the disadvantage in life. Some of them had pitiful parents come from poor places. Columbus. Amen. Everybody knows Columbus? No, you don't know him, but you know what he did. Discovered America? Amen. He was the son of a poor weaver. Amen. The weave for a living. Ferguson, the astronomer. Amen. Amen. He could tell you all about the constellations of the heavens. Amen. He was the son of a shepherd. Amen. From poor upbringings in life. Amen. In the great work of assuaging human suffering and enlightening human ignorance and halting human iniquity, the chief part is done by ordinary men, ordinary speech and ordinary manner, and by ordinary means. The trouble is, help me here now, the trouble is that in the army of Christ, amen, we want to be captains and we want to be colonels and we want to be brigadier generals. We're not willing to march with a rank and file and do duty with a private soldier. Amen, we want to be somebody great, somebody that everybody looks up to. Amen, come on here. But God needs men, amen, that will get up from their down and out attitude, amen, and learn to fling with their rocks in their left hand until, amen, they're victorious. 700 men, amen, could sling a rock, amen, 200 yards and hit the mark every time. I want to tell you, you can be victorious. I don't care where you are. In all communities, there are people that are invalids. Never know a day's well day in their life. Amen. And I've noticed among that invalid class, those who have the greatest knowledge of the Bible, who have had the most remarkable answers to prayer, and who have had the most exhilarant anticipation that heaven's real. Praise God. The temptations which weary us, who are in robust health, they have conquered those obstacles. They've divided among them the spoil of the conquest. Amen. My wife cannot do what she used to do. Anybody here? Some of you older folks cannot do what you used to do. But you can be determined to do what you can do. Don't give up because you've been hurt or wounded. Come on here. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. No matter what happens in life, if you become so handicapped, amen, that you can't even cook supper for your husband, amen, do what you can do. Amen. My wife cannot do what she used to. And y'all know that. Physically, she cannot do what she used to do. But she turned her affections toward heaven. My wife is a praying woman. I've said this several times and y'all got the drift. She beats me up every morning. Not with a clothespin. Not with a rolling pin. But she, most of the time, she beats me out of bed in the mornings, Brother Randolph. And I'll hear her in the living room. She can't even kneel on her knees anymore. But she sits in that chair and she calls on the name of the Lord. Praise God. You can let your handicap stop you if you want to, or you can allow that handicap to drive you, amen, toward a closer walk with God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. Amen. Teresa is here this morning. Come on here. Amen. She's here this morning because years ago, amen, my wife said we was on a trip. Amen. I forget where we were going. She might remember, but we were on a trip going somewhere to preach. Amen. She said, I feel led of the Lord this morning to call Teresa. Amen. She never calls her that early. It was early in the morning. Praise God. Amen. And Teresa was not out of bed yet. I said, she's still sleeping. She said, I know it, but I feel led to call her. And she did. Come on, are y'all still with me? Amen. She called her and woke her up. Amen. And Teresa's here this morning because of that phone call. Hey. Praise God. And when she was awake, praise the Lord. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. Amen. She realized she needed, amen, to get things together. And the first thing she knows, she heard a car drive up in the driveway. And they didn't stop in the driveway. They drove all the way to the front porch. And she felt something was wrong. Amen. And there was a banging on the door. And they finally knocked the door down and came in. Amen. And came to her bedroom door. And she had a pistol on the nightstand. She pointed at him and said, get out of my house. But you know what? If my wife had not had a burden to call her that morning, she would have been asleep in bed. Amen. God knows how. Amen. To take your life and make something worthwhile out of it. Amen. When you can't do what you want to do. Woo! Amen. I've looked at churches. After all the worldliness that has cropped into our church world, after all the scandals that has rocked even the holiness movement. Amen. After all the immorality that has all but destroyed some of our families. After all the church problems and church splits. Amen. That has disheartened our preachers. Come on here. Somebody say amen. And yet we can overcome. We can get up. We can be victorious. Amen. This church has been through enough. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, amen, learn how to swing with your left hand if you have to. Learn how to pray in the sitting in a chair if you have to. Amen. But let the Holy Ghost make something worthwhile out of your life. I need to quit. Sweet Holy Ghost. Second Corinthians chapter 1
verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength.
Wait a minute here. Amen. We don't want y'all to misunderstand anything. Amen. You know of our trouble which we had in Asia. He's really talking about Acts chapter 14 verse 19.
Right.
Amen. When they stoned him. Amen. And drug him out of the city and left him for dead. Praise God. Amen. And what? And that we were what?
Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you, our trust is in God, not in your ability or talent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody say amen. If you for one minute think that the devil's going to leave you alone, amen, come on here. Because you go to Massanova Pentecostal Church, I got news for you. He's going to do his best to get you down. He's going to fight you. He's going to knock you. He's going to spit on you. He's going to pull your hair. Come on here. Amen. Amen. You'll hear people talking about you. Come on. Y'all still with me? Amen. Ah, Ehud had a dagger which had two edges. Amen. It's on his right side because he was left-handed. Amen. Because, come on here. Amen. Because he was left-handed. Ordinarily the sword is on the left side that you may readily draw it out by the right hand. But as Ehud was left-handed, amen, it's convenient for his sword to be on the right side to where he could put, he lifted up his garments, the Bible said, and pulled out his dagger. Amen, I want to tell you, glory to God, get ready. God's got greater things in store. Amen, don't get down and out. Amen, because you can't shout like somebody else, or you can't pray like somebody else, or you can't sing like somebody else, or you can't play music like somebody else, or you can't preach like somebody else. God's got a place for you. You need to get up. Arise, my children, for the Lord thy God will give thee strength and give thee life. Yea, be not discouraged in thine own self and thine own way, for the Lord thy God will do a great thing among you. Lift up your heads, lift up your hearts, for I the Lord will do a mighty work among you, saith God. Be not discouraged. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him praise. Praise God. Amen. 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 Come on, Marcia. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I don't know how it is with you physically. I don't know how it is with you mentally. I don't know how it is with you domestically. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God. Amen. David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I fear? Praise God. Everybody stand. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Let's come pray.